Love that. Well, we're getting into a new series today. I'm quietly excited about it. It's something that the Lord's just started to stir my heart about a couple of weeks ago, and started to, I guess you could say, drop in a few things, a few little truths, and then just dropped a major download for me, which just really blessed me, and I know is going to be a blessing to you all as well. I believe it should set some things right. How many of you know that the Lord sometimes sets things right? And that's so often part of the experience that we can have in God, is where he takes things and just puts them like where they should be, and in the fashion that they should be. I'm introducing today something that I guess follows on a little bit from where we've been. You know, this year we've studied out our relationship with the Word of God. We've studied out our, and then moved on to another series where we've studied out our relationship with the Spirit of God. And in that series, we've gone through quite a lot of information about the work of the Spirit of God. I hope that's been a blessing. I hope that's been a help. And of course, we're moving into something I believe is very important, is our relationship with biblical leadership. Our relationship with biblical leadership. So many people have an experience in the church is less than what it should be because of the nature of their connection with biblical leadership, or their understanding of it, their lack of understanding of how to relate to biblical leadership. Our relationship with leadership in the church is so much about how we connect. What's the level of our connection to that leadership? And furthermore, how we then follow that God-given leadership. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, the level of connection, and then how we follow within that connection. Because we cannot follow if we haven't connected correctly. We're not going to be able to follow. And probably, in fact, we probably won't want to if we haven't connected correctly. What I like about what the Lord has downloaded with regard to this topic is that there is an application for everyone who would be sitting here today. Everyone can have an application of this truth that's coming out today and actually put it into practice in some way, fashion. If you're here for 2 weeks, flying out after 2 weeks, after having had a couple of weeks of work here or maybe even study, there's an application for you today in this that's being downloaded with regard to how you relate to biblical leadership. So get ready, tighten your seatbelts. We're going to touch on a few things that, you know, might make you sort of shift around in your seat a little bit, but that's good. There is blessing and fruitfulness for those that make the right connections to God-given leadership. And I say right connections, because we do need to connect with God-given leadership. And as well, we'll see in Scripture as an advantage for our own life. There's an advantage in having the right connection to biblical God-given leadership. Sadly, and I'll just underline this, sadly, some may have had a bad experience with church leadership. You know, in the past, background has a bad experience that they'd rather forget about. Fantastic. I'm with you. I'd rather forget about it as well and just go on, realizing that was wrong. And I've had bad experiences with church leadership where they were wrong. And, you know, the thing that we have to reconcile is the fact that just because it's God-given leadership, it doesn't make them perfect. Just because they're walking in an anointing and an office given by God, it doesn't make them perfect, and you're capable of making mistakes. And, you know, we have to reconcile that. But there should be a lot of healing in the recognition today that the right connection to God-given leadership will bless our lives and, of course, bless others as well when we get it right. The New Testament church, we should be following those that are following Jesus. Amen? We should be following those that are following Jesus. Those that are in and are pursuing close relationship with the Lord, of course, should be one of the things we should look for in leadership. That they've got a relationship with God and they're looking to pursue that relationship, looking to go deeper and grow in that relationship with God. We should see that in leadership around us and look for that heart. Very important. It's a very sad thing to see people who are active around church things but don't have a close heart to God. You know, the Bible, even Jesus said, there's people draw near to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's a wrong type of leadership to be getting tangled up with. You want that heart that's connected. Amen. You know, in the New Testament church, we should be looking to follow godly, God-given leadership. A sad thing to see in the body of Christ is people who wander around without any connection to leadership. wander around in the church, no connection to leadership. Very sad to see that. Some are even keen to be active in church or churches without a connection to leadership. They have no answer for the question if you were to ask them, who is your pastor? No answer for that. They would then be going, say, well, where are you submitted in to any... No answer for that. And of course, that's something that we need to be able to correct pretty quickly, I believe, if you're in that condition. Or at a higher level connection, who can speak into your life? So leaders even need leaders. Leaders need to be following someone who's following Christ as well. I mean, who can speak into my life? Pastor Mark does. She has spoken to my life. I call it a little clip around the ear, where, you know, she might see something that you're just in, you know, at a glance and say, oh, I don't really. Remember one time, bless Rosemary, we were in town, or I should say Pastor Mark, this is a couple of years ago now, Pastor Mark was in town with Barry and they like to come up at the end of the year. And of course, we hadn't had a lot of rain that year. Rosemary and I were driving to have breakfast with Pastor Margaret and Barry. And of course, as we're driving along, Rosemary says, gee, I wish it would rain sometime soon. And I said, pigs might fly. Just to Rosemary, just as a bit of a joke, you know, just a bit of a, oh, and pigs might fly, as a bit of a, about the rain. Anyway, we're sitting there having breakfast with Pastor Margaret and Barry, and they said, gee, you could do with some rain up here. And Rosemary says, yeah, Peter said pigs might fly. And Pastor Margaret turned to me and said, well, that's not a very good confession, Pastor Peter, is it? She picked me up on my confession, you know, picked me up on what I was saying. In other words, you should be saying there's going to rain soon. You should be speaking positively about the weather patterns in Broome. You should be saying what you want, not what you have. Amen. Little clip around the ear. I said, yes, Pastor Margaret, I receive that. Who can speak into your life? Pastor Margaret could speak into my life. I don't mind getting picked up on my confession every now and then, because I believe we need to lift our confession, don't we? And it's good to have people in your life who will guard your confession. I had a treasurer that worked with me back over in Queensland days, and I couldn't say a word wrong without him correcting me about the words I was saying, about my confession, about whether it was a good confession or a bad confession. And he showed respect, because I was his pastor. He would say, oh, I wouldn't say that. He said it a fair bit, eh? I'd say something, he'd say, oh, I wouldn't say that. So it was quite funny. It was a very, very minor correction, but it was a correction all the same, you know. But who can speak into your life? Amen. We need to have those people and be willing for them to speak into our lives as well. The Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus. Follow me. Wow. We had a little rhyme in Bible college that said, some are called, some are sent, and some just bought a microphone and went. We need to know the leadership that God has called. We need to know that they are called, that they are God-given gifts. And of course, then have that confidence to follow them. Amen. I like something that Pastor Chris Sarno, I read just recently, the pastor of Yolanda's church and Dally's church, I believe too, back in the US there. He just recently made a comment and said, you cannot become if you don't belong. And it's talking about our life in the church, about our participation in the life of the church, about feeling like that we belong. You cannot become if you don't belong. And I got it instantly. I realized it. Because I know from my own experience that my greatest growth and maturity and development was when I actually locked in to the church that God had called me to and said, I'm going to be here. And I'm going to be under that leadership and I'm going to grow under that leadership. Stop looking around and trying to find the latest flavour and things that attracted me. I started to say, well, God, where do you want me? Where do you want me locked in? It's important that we understand, as we should all recognise, that we're in a day and age where people don't need to leave the comfort of their own air-conditioned home to receive Christian teaching. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you don't need to leave. You can just sit on right at home there and switch on even your phone. The technology is now available where you can switch even your phone on and receive biblical information, biblical inspiration, and not need to be participating in a local church. And, you know, some do it. But, and there should be a big but added on here, being in regular attendance and serving in a local church provides us with the opportunity to connect and relate to God-given leadership. It's a gift that we're connecting to. You know, it's the ministry that God has given in a place. And to achieve a level of connection that you don't receive just by flicking the telly on and watching a little bit of Sunday morning church or God TV or something you download on your internet. It's not the same connection. Amen. It's just not the same connection. I want us to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Paul was talking about his apostleship and his fatherhood of those particular ministries. Absolutely. He says, therefore I beseech you, be followers of me in view of the gift, in view of a God-given leadership. Paul says, follow me, because he knew that leadership was ordained by God. And of course, we have to answer the question, what is God-ordained leadership? God-given leadership or God-ordained leadership is a term that describes a leadership that is initiated by God and is a gift ordained by God through a calling and then a confirmation of the calling by men. Men recognize the gift. Men then say, that's a gift that we are going to ordain and actually commission. That is not something that happens or can occur from a Wheaties packet. Like a little toy that we used to be able to pull out of a little Wheaties packet. It's a process and something that God calls people to. It's not a job. I'll say it again. Church leadership is not a job. It can be managed like it's a job, but it's not a job. It's a calling. And, you know, we would say, Rosemary, now with a little bit of experience under our belt, this is what we would say about it. If you're not called to ministry, don't get into it. Called to fivefold ministry, called to leadership, and you don't get into it if you're not called to it, because it is damaging if you're not called to it. If you haven't got the gift operating and functioning in your life, it becomes a problem. We've seen a lot of people who made mistakes in that area and are sadly damaged that actually would stop them from even going to church anymore because they got that part wrong. Hallelujah. God-given leadership is initiated by God, ordained by God through a calling and then a confirmation of calling by men. In Ephesians chapter 4, as we've seen before, therefore he says, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, talking about Jesus Christ. And he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some. These are the gifts. These are the leadership gifts that were given. And ascended up high. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Gifts given for growth. Gifts given for maturity. Gifts given to bring people to a place of service. And notice it's very much about for the edifying of the body of Christ till we all come. For the work of the ministry. It's for the saints to get that heart to fellowship. Just appreciate that this is something that, and I certainly have seen people who have made mistakes in this area of ministry. And the truth about it is that you can't go home and make a badge and put pastor on it. Start wearing it around. That's not going to work. That doesn't make you a pastor, even if you got a badge and even if you got a good looking one. Just tell you a little story. One of my roles back down there in Perth at Victory Life Perth was after the main services, pastors were all encouraged to wander around in the congregation. They had a 1,000+ member church, and so Sunday mornings were quite busy, and of course, changeover between services of people milling around, 500-600 people in the foyer milling around, and there were some over here and some over there. Your job as a pastor was to get around and, hi, how are you going? And potentially meet some of the new people that are visiting. So you had like a visitor's corner. And I'm there in the visitor's corner there one day, and there's this guy, and he's got a badge on. And it's not one of our badges. And he's got pastor written on it. And I'm going, oh. And I said to him, I said, excuse me. I said, I note that you're wearing a badge. And he goes, yes, that's my pastoral badge. And I said, oh, what church do you pastor? He says, oh, I don't really have a church. I'm just a pastor. I said, okay. So I then thought to myself, well, I just need to talk to him a little bit further about this particular area. And so he started to basically give me the impression that in actual fact he wasn't a pastor. So I asked a few questions. Oh, well, when did you become a pastor? He says, oh, well, I haven't really been connected to a church in a long time, but I feel that I'm a pastor. And what he'd done, he'd gone out and gotten one made up, and there he was wearing a pastor's badge. And so I sort of said to him, I said, well, look, that's not right for you to be going around representing yourself as a pastor in this church, and particularly if you're not a pastor. You should be doing that in any church. It was one of those kind of standoff moments, and I said to him, I said, look, let's do one or two things. You might want to leave if you don't agree with what I'm saying, or you might want to just take your badge off. Well, I must admit, it was a pretty nice-looking badge, and he didn't want to take it off. He didn't want to take it off, so he wanted to keep that badge on. And I said, well, look, I'm sorry, but I might have to actually ask you to sort of, you know, maybe come back at another time. We can discuss through what situation is, but I might just ask it. He said, that's okay. He said, I haven't got my bus fare, or I think it was a train fare, home. And I said, that's okay, no problem at all. I can give you some money to help you get back home again. And again, it sort of raised a whole range of ideas as to what he was hoping to achieve by having a pastor's badge on and no bus fare or train fare home. I thought maybe he was going to take up an offering with someone. Now, I'm not sure what he was going to do there that day, but it was a case of just addressing that. But, you know, we need to be aware that there is God-given leadership. And we need to be aware that we should be able to discern it, define it, know what it is, and then actually purpose to connect with it. Because there's a good thing that comes from it. God-given leadership will always provide us with godly guidance, nurturing, training and support, and our growth and maturity toward Christ-likeness. That's what you're going to get from God-given leadership. Whenever you encounter it and whenever you can connect with it, that's what you're going to receive. And look, what I want to just download in the time that we've got remaining is that there's different levels of connection. And I was quite excited when the Lord started to just really deal with me about these different levels of connection. Okay. Because the first level, and we should be aware of them, we should realise and not only but understand that there's an application of these different levels of connection for all of us and really be able to locate maybe where we're at. First level of connection is the honouring level. Okay, it's an honouring level. Okay, it's respect enough to receive from that gift. It's a respect for the office, for the calling, for the God-given gift and leadership. We should all seek to connect with God-given leadership with a high degree of respect and honour and even love for them. See, if I was to go to another church, if I was on holidays and I went in that location, I decided to go to that location to visit another church and sit down in that Sunday service, what I would be looking to do would be to connect at this level, the honouring level. Don't really know them, don't really know their vision, don't really know their heart, but hey, I can connect at the honouring level. And that's a good level. It's healthy because I can then receive from them as well. And at this level, we can learn the basic truths. We can receive shepherding even to a certain extent here, you know, the message that they might bring forward. But look what it says over in 1 Thessalonians, three levels of leadership connection, the honouring level. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them who labour among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. That's probably the more difficult part there, who admonish you, may bring a little correction from time to time and help you in your pathway, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Well, that's a good one too. It may only be the first level, but it's a level where God has designed people to be blessed and to be at peace among themselves when there's a recognition and a connection even at that level. It's a level where we choose also to maintain unity. Here's a classic example. I would never go to another church, visit another church while I'm on holidays and go in there listen to the sermon, then stand around outside and talk about how I didn't like what the pastor was wearing, or I didn't like this, or I didn't like that. You know, you wouldn't expect that to happen. In most churches, you never do. But some people haven't connected at the honouring level. There's an honouring level. We certainly believe a part of our core values is harmony. We believe that harmony is something that we all contribute to, that we all contribute to by the things that we say and the things that we speak, how we quickly get along with other people and, of course, refuse to, you know, listen to things that we shouldn't be listening to or even be speaking about. That's how we contribute to unity in the church, is through the disciplines of harmony, getting on well with one another. One of our core value of harmony is very much underlined by Psalm 133, where we're told that in that place, in the place of unity, the Lord commands blessing on us. And it's described as, in Psalm 133, like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. Unity is like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard. It's like the dew on Hermon. And I finally got the revelation one day when I realized what it meant was, is that God's blessing gets on everything. You get a bit of oil on your beard, it's getting on everything. You get a little bit of dew on Hermon, and apparently it gets quite a bit of dew on Hermon, and it's on everything. And we want the Lord's blessing on everything. And unity is one way that each and every single one of us in a local church, in regular attendance, can participate and contribute to, is our discipline of harmony. Just quickly working things out with one another where there's little areas of disagreement. And of course, always speaking well of one another, particularly the leaders. Amen. Particularly the leaders. Look what it says, Hebrews 13:17. It says, obey your leaders. Wow. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they watch over your souls as those who must give an account. To this end, allow them to lead with joy and not with grief, for that would be of no advantage to you. I like the advantages of Christianity. I'm looking for the advantages of Christianity. And wherever it's the Bible tells me that there's no advantage for me, I'm going, well, boy, I'm going to avoid that. This is saying that when those that are over us have to lead with grief because of hurt, because of harm, because of something that's disappointed us and we've got grieving in our heart, that's no advantage to the person who caused it or was a part of it or anyone that got involved with it. No advantage at all. Amen. This is that part where we all just need to sit and just maybe tighten our seatbelts a little bit while we just sort of walk through this a little bit and see that the Lord has good things intended for all of us. We have to then look at those connections. First level is the honouring level. The second level is the heart level, the connection of heart. Amen. And a very important level. It's where we begin to understand the heartfelt vision of the God-given leadership. What's the vision? What is it? How can we connect with that and connect ourselves with them based on what's in their heart? And it's usually seen by others, usually manifest by, well, I just really love what that church is doing. I just really want to serve in that house because they've got a vision that can really connect with. It's a vision, you know, great, the leadership's got this vision. Of course, our vision's very much about raising up sons and daughters who have the Father's heart. To me, that's a really easy vision to connect with because you can see that it will work and help and support anyone or any Christian to get on with their relationship with God and go deeper and stronger in their walk with the Lord. And I find that it's something that really suits, a vision that really suits such a transitional place as Broome as well, because people can come, connect with that heart, get the goodness out of that and then move on to another place that had the same heart. A heart that just is connected with the heavenly, you know, with the Heavenly Father. You know, I like it. It's usually seen very much in our desire to serve and start getting involved and to participate in the life and contribute to the life of the church. But it's a connection with the leadership and the vision that they're carrying. Very much that heart-level connection. I like 1 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 1. One day, Jonathan, son of Saul, said to the young man bearing his armor-bearer, come, let us cross over to the Philistine outpost on the other side. But Jonathan did not tell his father. You know, this is a wartime story. The enemy are encamped over a course across the valley. And let's just skip the next few verses of geography and go down to verse 6, just for time. And it says, "And Jonathan said to the young man that bore his armor, 'Come, let us go over into the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint on the Lord to save by many or by few.' And his armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Turn you, behold, I am with you according to your heart.'" So the armor bearer is saying, "I'm going to run with you. I'm going to run with what's in your heart. Let's do this. Let's go out and have this battle." And of course, it's the second level connection is a heart connection. It results in service. It results in participation in the vision. How can we be involved in this vision being fulfilled? It's an attitude toward leadership that says, "Well, whatever's in your heart, I'm here serving with you." Second level of a connection. And we'll see, and we'll read it as well. "And both of them revealed themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, 'Behold, the Hebrews come forth out of their holes where they have hid themselves.'" bit of a push, wasn't it? "And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, 'Come up to us, and we will show you a thing.' And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, 'Come up after me, for the Lord has delivered them into the hand of Israel.' And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him, and they fell before Jonathan. And his armor bearer," one translation says, "finished them off." His armor bearer finished them off behind him. And that first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men. And within a half acre of land, which a yoke of oxen might plough. And there was a trembling in the host, in the field and among the people, the garrison and the raiders, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling." You know, there was like an event that occurred here, great victory, 2 against 20, usually does not go very well. But in this case, vision, heart for vision, and someone, just one person, an armor bearer, coming along and saying, "I'm here with you. I'm here with what's in your heart." And of course, running after and of course, having this great victory. Third level of connection, the last level of connection I want to talk about today. Third level. First level, honoring. Second level, heart level. Third level is a honing level. And you know, this is the part where we really start to say, "Look, I really want to be mentored. I really want to be helped. I really want to be fathered in what God's doing in my life." And it's a connection to leadership that actually supports that. And it's a connection for sons and daughters of God that say, "I have my Heavenly Father's heart, but I want to be mentored. I want to be assisted. I want to be supported up into where God wants me to be. I want to be sharpened and honed for sharpness." It's a honing level. I found at this level, the leadership cannot help but recognize the connection. At that level, it's like the Lord just turns your heart to a person who's at that level, that honing level, that they just want to be honed a little bit. They want to become a little bit sharper. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Iron sharpens iron. It's an exciting level because God turns the leader's heart toward the person, and sometimes and most times vice versa. And there's a mentoring that goes on. And of course, God's spirit is at work within that connection as well. A lot of spiritual connection, a lot of seeing and knowing, a lot of sync goes on between those people when that's occurring. And of course, it's valuable for those that are actually being exercised in it. You see, Timothy 2, verse 1 and 2, is, you therefore, my child, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard me say among many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be qualified to teach others also. And, you know, what I like to say is this, is that at this level, there's an impartation that gets released as well. There's an impartation of what God's gifts and anointings that are on your life. When someone's connecting at this level, at that honing level, they're picking up some of those gifts that are actually already been, you know, working and operating in your own life as well. And it's a great connection. You see, we teach what we know, but we impart from the heart. All right? We teach what we know, but we impart from the heart. In other words, the Spirit of God just takes, and of course, gifts are received as well into other people's lives. And in that impartation, a capacity to impart to others begins to grow as well. We start to grow and develop in that ability ourselves. As we just finish today, I just want to, again, help anyone that's processing any type of bad treatment that you've ever experienced with leadership. Certainly want to help you work through that. But understand that there's a level of connection that is healthy, that God wants us to connect with leadership with. First one, very much, as we've seen, is that honouring level. And I'm not teaching any of this today because I'm wanting more honour, because I don't feel I've been getting enough honour or haven't been loved enough lately. I'm not teaching it for that reason at all. I'm teaching it because, hey, this is healthy. An honouring level is healthy. You know, where we're recognising there's an appreciation for the God-given leadership that God has placed in the place where you are. And now you can take that truth and take it anywhere. It'll work. It's a good connection level. And who knows, if the Lord is moving you to other places, you'll know this now, is that there's another level that you can go to in your connection with leadership. It's a heart level connection. And it's where your heart begins to connect with the vision that the Lord's laid on the leader's heart. You know, we're doing this and God's really been dealing with us about doing this. And we've had all that now. You know, we generally say the textbook is about, takes about 18 months to get a sense of vision for a church. And we've been through that and just sat and received from the Lord and prayed about it until we really finally got in prayer what God was saying for this church. We're here to raise up sons and daughters, people. We want to know what a son and a daughter looks like. It's someone who has their father's heart. And that's our Heavenly Father's heart. And you can take that truth, get it. You can build that heart into your own life and take it wherever you go. You might be here for 6 months and leave, but you'll take a Father's heart with you, because that's what's coming through. That's what God's bringing through. That's where God's going with the teaching, the ministry, the prayer that we pray with people, is that people would get the Father's heart. It's a close relationship with Him. Amen. And that God-given leadership is here for that purpose, to help people get to that place of having their Father's heart. Amen. And of course, you know, moving on to the second level, of course, is that heartfelt connection. Honouring, heartfelt connection. Third connection, of course, is the honing level. We really start to sort of get a hold of a sharpness and start even desiring that mentoring and that support and help that comes from godly leadership. And getting to know them, getting to know the leadership closely. Jesus operated with his disciples for 3 years at that honing level. You know that when they came through that 3.5 years with Jesus, they were still making mistakes, they were falling asleep at prayer meetings and major events, they're still getting things wrong. That's okay. The honing level was still there though, and they still got some things right. We look at the church today and we know that those early disciples did receive and did walk in the heart of the Lord Jesus and of course receive from him as well. So, you know, that's what the Lord's got for all of us, I believe. And just what I want us to do is I want us to just be acknowledging that for those of us who've had bad experiences in the past with leadership, maybe we need to look back and say, well, maybe I didn't have the right information about how to connect, or how to receive from that ministry, how to get the maximum out of that God-given leadership. But, you know, maybe there's some things that you just need to just, you know, let go of. I know that the minute we start moving in forgiveness toward others, the Lord can bring his healing. You know, forgiveness toward those who might have done the wrong thing for us or done the wrong thing to us. But just to let it go once and for all. Come back to that place of honouring leadership and realising that there's God-given leadership that you can receive from, connect with, and of course continue to receive from. So why don't we all stand to our feet this morning? We'll just close in prayer. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you again today, Lord God, for your word, the ministry of your word into our hearts and lives today. And Holy Spirit, we just again just appreciate your presence in our midst today, that you would work and touch lives and hearts today, Lord, that you would bring healing where there's hurt and maybe even unforgiveness. Lord, that you would just bring, Lord, your healing balm into our lives, Lord, with hurts from the past, Father. Lord, we just, again, appreciate the gifts that you've given in the body, Father. Lord, those fivefold gifts that are mentioned over there in Ephesians chapter 4, Lord, we thank you for every single one of them, Lord. And we know that they're there, Lord God, to edify us, encourage us, Father God. Lift us up, Father, to new places in service. Lord, that we might be equipped for the work of the ministry, Father. So, Lord, we ask, Father, that you would again just lead us and guide us, Father, in these areas, Lord. Help us to understand the levels of connection that we need to go to. If we've got that heart to go to higher connections, Father God, Lord, lead us in it, Father God. We pray, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to guide us and lead us in these things. And Lord, we thank you that ultimately, Father, ultimately, Lord God, you want to bring us to the full measure of our Lord Jesus Christ, that full likeness of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Christ-likeness in our hearts, Father. We know that that's the end goal. And Lord, we pray that we would be useful to you, Lord God, in our ministry and our ministry around, Father God, others, Father, and both in the mission of this church and even the vision of this church now, Father. We pray, Lord God, that you would use us greatly. And we ask these things today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Amen.